This is the keynote speech given by Father Benedict LaVolpe at the third anniversary event for KMMK at the Cedar Ridge Winery in Swisher, Iowa on June 9, 2021. He is the rector of the National Shrine of Maximilian Mary Kolbe at Marytown. Marytown is located at Libertyville, Illinois, which neighbors Mundelein, Illinois, which has the University of St. Mary of the Lake, also called Mundelein Seminary. This is where many seminarians from the area attend, especially those seminarians from the Archdiocese of Dubuque. Jeff Frieden, a seminarian from St. Pius X in Cedar Rapids, has Father Benedict as his spiritual director. KMMK highly recommends the Kolbe Shrine and Mundelein Seminary as a pilgrimage destination. Father Benedict LaVolpe is a conventual Franciscan, written out as OFM Conventual, one of the main four orders of the Friars Minor. This is the same order as Maximilian Mary Kolbe, whom he rightfully refers to as brother. Father LaVolpe is an Italian from Australia. We are graced to have him in Illinois and very blessed to have him at the KMMK third anniversary event. Father Benedict is a Mariologist, a studier of Mary and biblical texts as they relate to the Blessed Mother, including Old Testament prophecies of Mary. He also explains why we want to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, the beloved Mother of our Lord Jesus. The companion booklet to this talk is Behold Your Mother, available for the asking. Just use kmmk-fm.org contact. It is free of charge. kmmk-fm.org contact. We want to be your companion at KMMK through, and we pray past, this corona deal, but also more so the troublesome times spiritually that we are faced in this secular culture, which, surprise, surprise, it has a fallen nature. What do we expect, okay? But it has the Christian saltiness that the culture is being sprinkled about with our Christian witnesses. We're salt of the earth, right? And we are, in fact, the conscience of the culture, but also problems within the leadership and the laity of the church are rampant. But we put all this to Jesus through Mary and already expect a good outcome, but not without trials and difficulties. So KMMK is here to provide encouragement and to keep focused. God is in control.
KMMK will continue our mission statement to communicate the gospel message and win over the greatest possible number of souls for Christ during this fourth year of broadcasting. We look forward to bringing you the excellent daily programming from EWTN and Relevant Radio to enrich and strengthen your faith and creating more local programming in the coming year.
St. Maximilian Kolbe ran a printing operation that at its peak had up to 800 friars. And I've heard this said by a priest in a homily that this was the biggest, he called it a convent. What's the right word? Convent, okay. So that's existed, just period. And they produced 1 million copies of the I think it's called the razor, but it's like a sword, they called it. And it's just a monthly update, and it was all about the Immaculata, about Mary. And so he had this extraordinary organizational skill. This was the guy at the helm. He walked the walk. He motivated people to live on flax and, very austere diet. People would come to this place and just look at this state-of-the-art printing press equipment and looking at the austere way these friars were living, and they just, like,
they're just scratching their head, they can't figure this out. But he had people convinced that for every bit, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. He had denial nailed in that convent, let's say. And it was all about getting a few more publications out. He motivated everybody to do what they could to be able to do that. So he had extraordinary organizational skill to produce this much late in the 1930s. The extraordinariness was his reliance on Jesus through Mary, the Immaculata, on everything. And that is a way that we're going to pattern ourselves. We're, KMMK is promoting that so that we, as a group, as a Catholic Church, we can become influential in this spiritual battle that's going on, which St. Paul tells us it's not a battle against flesh and blood, it's against the principalities of evil. In his own words, ever since our beginning, we have never relied on profit, but counted exclusively on divine providence, which through the Immaculata urges people of goodwill to collaborate with us in the work of winning hearts over to her. And that's from Kobe writing.
When we look at the wedding feast of Cana, we see that Mary's mission is to move people toward her son Jesus. Do whatever he tells you. And this is what we ourselves strive to do in managing the radio station, as well as what we promulgate to all of you. And so we thank you again for being here tonight to share in this special celebration of KMNK. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
As a conventual Franciscan, he's out St. Maximilian. And when I come to, you know, Iowa, of all places, it wasn't on my bucket list, I have to say, when I came to the, no offense. This is one of those places I rarely hear about in Australia. But when you invited me, as you know, I said yes straight away. I was quite happy to come here. But as I said, Maximilian's kind of ours. And then when I see how much his love elsewhere, it really does edify me quite a lot. Thank you. And Tony was right. We do live in convents. We call them friaries, but we're called conventual Franciscans. And Maximilian was a conventual Franciscan. He's my brother, actually, if you think about it, because we live in convents. We have since the 1200s when our order was founded. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about St. Maximilian, his love for the Blessed Mother, and his understanding of the Blessed Mother as well. Now, Maximilian's understanding of the Blessed Mother is complicated at the least. So I've tried to, and don't take this the wrong way, dumb this down for me, let alone for you, so that we can understand Maximilian Kolbe's real love for the Immaculata and what he's able to teach us tonight as well, and how what we can take from this and take home with us. When I first entered the seminary back in 1995, I remember, and it was like yesterday, the professor who was teaching us Introduction to Sacred Scripture, who's actually now the Archbishop of Brisbane, of all places, the very first thing he said to us was, gentlemen, remember that text without context is pretext. And how right he was. And I've taken that with me every single day, because if you look at things out of their context, if you look at things out of their environment or out of their natural understanding, you're making a lot of assumptions. And the same happens with Maximilian Kolbe. We forget that he was a conventual Franciscan. In other words, he was a son of St. Francis of Assisi. So whenever we speak about St. Maximilian Kolbe, or his love for the Blessed Mother, or the work that he did, we cannot separate that from the fact that he was a Franciscan friar. In fact, he was a Franciscan friar from a very young age. Back before the council, we used to have what we call minor seminaries. Maximilian Kolbe joined the minor seminary when he was like something like 12 years old. So he had been a friar for many, many years, so to speak. And he was able to have imbued in him this great spirit of St. Francis of Assisi. Now, speaking of St. Francis of Assisi, just very briefly, again, text without context is pretext, we forget that St. Francis of Assisi is not the medieval hippie that Hollywood make him out to be. He's actually the exact opposite. Francis of Assisi was a very rigid and very Catholic man, very obedient to the church through and through. And that's very important to note, because at the time of Francis of Assisi, like every single century that we've had, there were great heresies. Francis could have easily have become a heretic himself and left the church and done his own thing. But in the church, he sees the body of Christ. And so that he was never going to separate himself for the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Absolutely not. And the most beautiful thing about Francis, as with Maximilian as well, is we have all of his writings. So what I'm saying now isn't, you know, just, you know, pie in the sky stuff, you know, oh, it wouldn't be nice if Francis was like this. No, it's his very writings that we have 800 years later. And his love for the Immaculata was incredibly strong. In fact, not only did he write a beautiful prayer called the Salutation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which I'm going to read in a moment, but he spoke about her very, very often. His very first biographer, who wrote the biography literally a year after Francis died, Blessed Thomas of Celano, wrote that his love for her went beyond words, inexpressible, he writes, of Francis' love for the Blessed Virgin, for it was she who made the Lord of Majesty our brother. It's beautiful words to describe Francis's love for the Immaculate. But listen to this beautiful prayer that Francis of Assisi wrote 800 years ago. Hail, O Lady, Holy Queen, Mary, Holy Mother of God. You are the Virgin made Church, and the one chosen by the Most Holy Father in heaven, whom he consecrated with his most holy beloved Son, and with the Holy Spirit the Paraclete, in whom there was and is all the fullness of grace and every good. Hail his palace, hail his tabernacle, hail his home, hail his robe, hail his servant, hail his mother. And hail all you holy virtues, which through the grace and light of the Holy Spirit are poured into the hearts of the faithful, so that from their faithless state you may make them faithful to God. These are the very words of Francis of Assisi. Every Franciscan throughout the last 800 years has always fostered a great love for the Immaculata. Maximilian took it kind of to a next level, which is great, you know, founding the militia of the Immaculata. But the love for the Blessed Mother has always been in the hearts of the friars. In fact, if I can remind the good people here tonight, it wasn't a Dominican or a Jesuit, heaven forbid. It was a good Franciscan, Blessed John Duns Scotus, who only 100 years after Francis gave us the beautiful theology that devised, of course, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. Because of the great love that he had for the Immaculata, coming from Francis himself. Francis, Bonaventure, Anthony, John Duns Scotus, all the way to Maximilian Kolbe, and all the way to today, to the conventual Franciscan friars, basically all Franciscans to this very day. We call this the golden thread of the Immaculate. In other words, this thread that's been sewn from Francis all the way to Maximilian into today. We cannot but not love the Immaculata. In fact, when I was introduced, you properly, Diane, introduced me with my correct name, Father Benedict Maria Lavolpe, because it is a tradition of the order when we begin novitiate to take a name in religion, mine being Benedict, and to have the middle name of the Immaculata, Maria. And Maximilian had the same thing. He said Maximilian Maria Kolbe. This all to explain the context in which Maximilian finds himself. In other words, it's not a vacuum. He didn't sort of come out from a cave somewhere. He's a true son of St. Francis. He's a true Franciscan friar who's continuing to weave this golden thread, the thread of the Immaculata, all the way until our generation today. Maximilian, of course, was born in Poland and in 1894 and baptized with the name Raymond. His name, Maximilian, was given to him at the novitiate, like until this very day many novices receive a name in religion, like I did as well. He entered the friars in 1910 and took his vows in Rome in 1914. He was in Rome for 4 years, and in those 4 years he managed to study and complete a doctorate in both philosophy and theology. He was a smart guy. He was an incredibly intelligent man, and his passion actually was I mean, it was theology and the study of the Blessed Mother, but his actually real passion was science and things like astrophysics. He had a great mind. He was an incredibly intelligent man. I'm rather blessed because in my 5 years in Rome, I studied in the very same faculty that Maximilian Kolbe did. I graduated from the same faculty as Maximilian Kolbe. And I'm not saying that, you know, to show off, as heaven forbid, and say it's no big deal, but it's to show the living memory that we have, not only in our church, but specifically in dioceses, for example, but in religious orders particularly. I was able to graduate from the very same place that Maximilian Kolbe graduated from. He, of course, founded in that time the Militia of the Immaculata. But just to rewind a little bit, I want to remind us of the beautiful beginnings of Maximilian's great love for the Immaculata. And it goes back to his childhood. His when he was quite young, he had a vision of the Blessed Mother. And I'm sure you've all heard this before. But it's quite interesting that Maximilian himself almost never spoke about this vision that he had. In fact, to be quite blunt, he was terrified of this vision that he had. It wasn't until after 1941, when he was martyred, that his mother, Maria Dabrowska, came forward. Maximilian had already sort of mentioned this in passing a few times to a few friars, but never spoke about it in any detail. It was his mother who was able to give us complete the jigsaw puzzle of this beautiful vision that he had as a child. Basically, his mum said to him, Raymond, what will become of you? He was a daydreamer. Because, you know, he was always thinking about science and, you know, aeroplanes and spaceships and all sorts of things, even in the early 1900s, believe it or not. And so he'd be daydreaming. And his mum getting angry, like mums do, you know, they see their kid daydreaming rather than doing their homework. He's like, what's going to become of you? And he goes to kneel at the family altar in Poland, like in many cultures I know. Even now, I'm Australian, but I'm actually more Italian than Australian, in case you didn't notice with my hands going all over the place. We always have, you know, a family altar, you know, the crucifix, the Blessed Mother. But he went to pray at the family altar, and the Blessed Mother appeared to him. And all she did was simply present to him two crowns, the red crown of martyrdom and the white crown of purity, and said to him, which do you choose? And he quite audaciously said, I choose both. As a side note to that, this is rather interesting how history replays itself in a sense. When Maximilian was beatified by Pope St. Paul VI, he was beatified as a priest confessor. In other words, the Pope wore white vestments for the beatification. When he was canonized by Pope St. John Paul II, both saints, he was canonized as a martyr in red vestments. There's no coincidence with God. Things always kind of come back, and come back and bite us, unfortunately, as well. But they do. It's incredible the coincidence, the providence that happens with God. No coincidence, all providence. So right from a very young age, just as the Blessed Mother was able to say to the Archangel Gabriel, let it be done unto me according to your will, this is Maximilian's almost annunciation, where he says, give me both crowns according to your will, Blessed Mother. And she does, because he lives the life of purity as a conventual Franciscan friar and a Catholic priest of the Catholic Church. And of course, he wears the red crown in his martyrdom in 1941 in Auschwitz. This moment for Maximilian is going to begin, of course, a lifelong endeavor of his love and his, to coin a phrase, his research of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she's always at the fore of his thoughts. In fact, after, you know, he founds the Militia of the Immaculata, which he founded in 1917 at our place there at the faculty of St. Bonaventure in Rome, where I studied with seven friars, several Romanian Polish friars, and an Italian friar that were with him, two Italian friars, I should say. He receives almost immediately the permission of the Pope to begin this great endeavor. He does the right thing, in fact, in his letters, in that, you know, we have those two big bricks, the volumes of Maximilian Kolbe's writings, his letters and other writings. And in his letters, his letter to the general, Minister General of the Order, asking permission of the Pope, which is the right thing to do. And because the conventual Franciscan friars are the confessors at St. Peter's Basilica, he had an in, again, all providence. So he went to Father, I can't remember Father's name, who was a confessor at St. Peter's, and said, can you give this letter to the Pope, you know, in your spare time, while you're at it? And he did. And he got permission from the Pope to begin the MI, the Militia of the Immaculate, the Crusade of Mary Immaculate, as we call it. When he gets back to Poland, he starts his greatest venture, and that is the building of the City of the Immaculate, Niepokolanów, the Town of the Immaculate in Polish. Now, Maximilian founded two Niepokolany. He founded the Niepokolanów, the town, the City of the Immaculate, in near Warsaw, and then, of course, when he went to Japan, to Nagasaki. One of his disciples, one of his confreres, Father Dominic Szymanski, brought that idea to the United States of America, and rather than calling it the City of the Immaculate, called it Marytown, which is where I live. Kind of, I'm the superior there as well at the moment. So this link is, again, providence after providence. I now sort of look after a friary and a mini city, so to speak, of the Immaculate, which is the very same thing that Maximilian founded in both Warsaw and Japan. And we have it right here in the United States. So if you haven't visited, what are you waiting for? Right? Please do come and visit. It's a beautiful place. Shrine of the Perpetual Adoration, the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe. It's a retreat center as well. You can stay overnight. It's a beautiful place, with Mundelein Seminary right next door as well. But he founds this beautiful Niepokolanów, which I've been able to visit several times myself, and begins his printing press. And that's, of course, of the utmost importance as well, because his printing press will be what gets him arrested in the end. He doesn't stop. Twice he was asked by the Gestapo. He was actually arrested the first time, which we often forget about, but was then released, and he was told to stop the production of the Night of the Immaculate, which was the name of the magazine, which is printed all the way until today in Poland. It hasn't stopped. But the second time, of course, when the Gestapo came, they arrested him and took him first to Poznan, to jail, and then, of course, from Poznan, they took him to Auschwitz. In all of this, we, of course, see the driving force of Maximilian Kolbe, and that, of course, is his love for Mary Immaculate. Again, volumes and volumes of books have been written regarding Maximilian Kolbe and his theology, his spirituality, and his love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I've really condensed it into just a few really salient points for this evening. Maybe more to keep us awake, hopefully. Because that wine was pretty good, I have to say. Maximilian Kolbe, of course, refers to the Blessed Mother always as the mediatrix of all graces. A title which sometimes in our modern church inspires, to use a term, inspires controversy. But it shouldn't, because even in our Vatican documents we have this term. The Second Vatican Council, in its beautiful dogmatic constitution of the Church, Lumen Gentium, in number 61 to 62, writes very beautifully, in suffering with him as he died on the cross, she, the Blessed Mother, cooperated in the work of the Saviour in an altogether singular way by obedience, faith, hope, and burning love to restore supernatural life to souls. As a result, she is our Mother in the order of grace. This motherhood of Mary in the economy of grace lasts without interruption from the consent which she gave in faith at the Annunciation, and which she unhesitatingly bore with under the cross, even to the perpetual consummation of all the elect. For after being assumed into heaven, she has not put aside this saving function, but by her manifold intercession, she continues to win the gifts of eternal salvation for us. By her motherly love, she takes care of the brothers of her Son, who are still in pilgrimage and in dangers and difficulties, until they be led through the happy fatherland. For this reason, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the Church under the titles of Advocate, Auxiliatrix, adjutrix and mediatrix. This, however, is not to be is to be understood that takes nothing away or adds nothing to the dignity and efficacy of Christ, the one mediator. For no creature can ever be put on the same level with the incarnate Word and the Redeemer. So Maximilian, right from the beginning, in all of his writings, refers to the Blessed Mother as the mediatrix of all graces. I'm going to speak a little bit more of grace in a moment's time. But this is very important to note because he sets the scene for his whole understanding of who the Immaculata is for him. She is the one who mediates grace. A second point to be made here, and a very important point in Maximilian's love, theology, spirituality of Mary, is because it is scriptural. And it comes from the cross. In St. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, we read very beautifully, "Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home." The whole heart of the spirituality of St. Maximilian Kolbe is seen right here in the school of the Word of God. In other words, it's not just pious or pietistic, it's scriptural. It comes straight from sacred scripture, and especially from this beautiful verse from St. John's Gospel, "Mary at the foot of the cross." Because what is happening at this moment is the completion of the Annunciation. At the Annunciation, the Archangel Gabriel comes to her and announces the good word and asks her to be the mother of the Son of God, to which she replies, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." She becomes the mother of the Son of God, the mother of the Word incarnate at that very moment of the Annunciation. Fast forward 33 years, the whole arc of the earthly life of Jesus, from the moment of the Annunciation, where he's now in the womb of his mother, to the moment that he's hanging on the cross and dying, the Annunciation comes to its completion. Because now through Jesus' own words, in his dying words, he has hardly breath in his lungs, but in his dying words, he says to his mother, "This is your son. These are your children." She doesn't have to say a word. But the fact that St. John writes, from that moment he took her into his home, is another way of saying, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." So from the Annunciation all the way unto the cross, we have the full gamut of the life of Mary and why she's the mediatrix of all grace, and why St. Maximilian Kolbe had this great inflamed love for her. When he hears the words, "Behold your son," he says, "Oh, that's me. I'm your son." And he takes it seriously, like every baptized Christian should. I didn't say Catholic, I said baptized Christian. And Jesus, the loving Savior, is dying on the cross. You listen to him. And if he says, "Behold your mother," you go and behold your mother. And that's exactly what Maximilian did, and that's a gift that gives to the Church as well, especially through consecration to the Immaculate. Because consecration to the Immaculate means taking Mary into our home. That's the whole MI in a line. I can finish my talk right now. That's so important, my dear people, because those words meant everything to Maximilian. In fact, he wrote so very beautifully, "Who would dare to imagine? How could you have given me more, O God, after having offered yourself to me to become mine? Your heart inflamed with love for me suggested to you another gift. Yes, yet one more gift. You asked us to become children if we wish to enter the heavenly kingdom. You well know that a child needs a mother. You yourself established this law of love. Your goodness, your mercy, therefore, created for us a mother, the personification of your goodness and infinite love. From the cross on Golgotha, you offered her to us and us to her. Beautiful words from Maximilian Kolbe, really capturing that moment of the cross. And so what happens from this moment? We are called to accept the welcoming gift that Christ gives. Who would, in their right mind, if Jesus was standing right here and offering you a gift, say to him, thanks, but no thanks. Your mother? No, I've already got one. Cheers, mate. No, no worries. No. We accept the gift. The beautiful gift. He's given us his mother. She is gift to us. Not an optional extra of our Christian faith, but very much part and parcel of the faith that Jesus Christ has established from the cross. That's why at times when people say, you know, maybe as Catholics or even as some Catholics, you go a little overboard with Mary. You can never go overboard with Mary. It's impossible. You accept her as gift from Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. In fact, he writes, regarding the militia of the Immaculate, he writes, this is the MI, to let her into all hearts, to bring her into being within all hearts, that by entering those hearts and taking most perfect possession of them, she may there give birth to the sweet Jesus God and their raising to perfect age. What a beautiful mission. Is that not true? The elevation of man to the God-man through the mother of the God-man. That is the MI in a nutshell as well. Maximilian Kolbe, the great saints who were the great teachers, thinking like Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, Bonaventure, Francisco, I have to mention Bonaventure. These great minds of the church are great minds of the church, not simply because they might have had a high IQ. They're not great minds of the church because they were just really intelligent and they did their homework when they were kids. They're great minds of the church because of the gift of wisdom that, by the way, we've all been given at our confirmation, but how they were able to use that gift of wisdom with love, with burning love for Jesus Christ through his mother Mary. Maximilian is part of that great wisdom. You've got to include Maximilian with Augustine and Thomas Aquinas and Bonaventure, and especially when you look at his great theology. And he was able to explain the relationship of Mary and the Trinity in a way that had never really been heard of before. In fact, at times, even the Holy Office, as it was called back then, was kind of having to investigate to say, well, maybe he's going into a bit of heresy here. But of course he wasn't. It's just that he was using a language that no one had ever heard before. And again, a language that he just sort of develops, because right from the beginning, the Church Fathers have spoken about the great relationship of Mary, the Blessed Mother of the Trinity. She's daughter of the Father, she's mother of the Son, and she's spouse of the Holy Spirit. She's connected to the Trinity like no one else can possibly ever be. The Trinity, of course, is there to reflect. The Trinity is a communion of love. And that communion of love is, we are called to reflect that communion of love. But no one sort of relates to the Trinity in any other way than the Blessed Mother herself. Because no one can be sort of daughter of the Father and mother of the Son and spouse of the Holy Spirit all at the same time, like the Blessed Mother can possibly be. She is that great complement of the Holy Trinity. And Maximilian sees this. He writes, she is steeped in love of the Holy Trinity, becomes from the first moment of her conception and forever the fulfillment, the completion of the Holy Trinity. He puts this in inverted commas because you can't really complete the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is perfect. But it's God's will that she becomes sort of an intimate part, relationship with that Holy Trinity. In the union of the Holy Spirit with her, love unites not only two beings, but one that is the entire love of the Trinity, the other the entire love of a creature. And in this union, heaven and earth are united. The height of love is achieved. Maximilian Kolbe sees in the moment of the Annunciation the great commingling, so to speak, the mixing of creation with heaven. And he's quite right. That's a very Catholic thought. God comes down to us so that we may become like God. That's the whole concept of the Annunciation, the birth, and then the ascension back into heaven, which we celebrated a few weeks ago. God becomes man so that man can become like God. And in all of that, Mary is the perfect creature, being the Immaculate Conception, because of her intimate union with the Trinity. Maximilian cared very much about this Trinitarian consecration to Mary, because everything that happened to Mary is a work of the Holy Trinity. At the moment of the Annunciation, we see that at work. God sends his Son through the Holy Spirit. Maximilian writes again, "The one and triune God looked upon the low estate of his handmaiden, and he who is mighty works in her great things. God the Father entrusts to her as a son, his own son. God the Son enters into her womb, while the Holy Spirit molds the body of Christ in the womb of the most pure virgin. And the Word was made flesh. The Immaculata becomes mother of God. Christ, God-man, is the fruit of the love of the one and triune God and of Mary Immaculate." Mary, in a sense, exemplifies for us this relationship with the Trinity, especially the outer life of the Trinity. And that's something that, of course, Maximilian was able to show us very beautifully. He always looks at Mary as of course a creature, a part of creation. This is very important to note as well. In this beautiful, one of the very last things he wrote before being arrested, he said, "O Immaculate, Queen of heaven and earth, I know I am unworthy to approach you, to fall on my knees before you with my face to the ground. But because I love you so much, I dare beg you to be good enough today to tell me who you are. For I wish to know you more and more, endlessly more, and love you more and more ardently with boundless zeal. Also, I wish to reveal to other souls who you are, that an ever-increasing number of souls may know you ever more perfectly and love you ever more ardently, so that you become the queen of all the hearts that beat and will beat on earth at any time, and that as soon as possible this may happen. Some still do not know your name at all. Others plunged in the mud of immorality dare not look up to you. Still others believe they have no need of you in order to achieve the purpose of their lives. Yet there are also some whom Satan, who refused to recognize you as his queen and was thus turned from an angel into a devil, prevents from bending their knees before you. Many are those who love you, who are fond of you. But how few are those who, for love of you, are willing to do anything, to labor, to suffer, and even to sacrifice their lives. When will you, O Lady, deign supreme in all hearts and each one individually? When will all the inhabitants of the earth acknowledge you as Mother, the Heavenly Father as Father, and in doing so finally feel like brothers?" This is an incredibly inspired moment for Maximilian, because just before he was arrested, he had this great sort of poetic writings, and this is a compilation of some of them, of this, "Who are you?" Because he truly wanted to know more and more the inner dynamics of Mary. For Maximilian Kolbe, nothing was ever superficial. His love for the Blessed Mother had to be something very real and very deep. He wanted to show in his relationship what is possible in our relationship with Mary as well. Of course, for Maximilian Kolbe, Mary is that great exemplar of the Church at prayer and our avenue of becoming a saint. As I said right from the beginning, Mary is the mediatrix of all graces. What is grace? It's one of those words that get thrown around a lot. You know, when we talk about love, when we talk about peace, for example, sometimes we don't really understand what the Christian notion of love is or what the Christian notion of peace is. Grace is another word, one of those terms that gets thrown around quite a lot. We have, obviously, sanctifying grace. That's the grace that's in our soul, hopefully to make our soul holy. It gives us supernatural life. And then we have actual grace, which are those moments of grace, almost that supernatural kick in the backside we need every so often. And Maximilian Kolbe is basically saying to us, the more you attune your heart to Mary, the more you are availing yourself to the life of grace, the more you are preparing yourself for heaven. And that's quite important. In other words, Mary, again, is not someone that we just sort of go to every so often, or because we need her, or because we want to pray Hail Mary. But she's actually very important in our daily living of our Christian life. To get to Christ, we do so through Mary, because she increases our love for her, our devotion for her, our emulation of her life, of living a life of humility and poverty, as Mary did, as St. Francis of Assisi teaches us, helps us to learn about that grace and live that grace more and more, and to be open to that grace. That's why Maximilian was very insistent always throughout all of his writings, Mary, grace, Mary, grace. The two have to go hand in hand and have to be our true understanding of how Mary can help us on our way to heaven. One of the great ways that Maximilian showed us to promote his love for Mary, and especially through total consecration to the Blessed Mother, was the use of the miraculous medal. He called these the bullets of the Blessed Mother, and rightly so. I mean, think about the time he was living in. Yeah? So the miraculous medal, of course, is something very important to those of us who are members of the MI, who are consecrated to the MI. I've been an MI member for 25 years now, and make my daily consecration every single day. She's the reason I'm here now. By the way, that's the answer to that question. So how do I get from Melbourne to Marytown? Obedience, because it's a vow we take and kind of have to, it's important, you know. And Mary, she's the reason I'm here. There's no other reason I want to say yes. To leave parish, leave my family, leave my home, to come all the way to Chicago. Mary. Because that was the word on the lips of Maximilian. Everything was Maria. Every beginning of a sentence, every beginning of a prayer, when he answered the telephone, would answer the telephone, Ave Maria. That's how he answered. He wouldn't say hello, how you going? Ave Maria. The first words he would speak. That's the reason I'm here. And through the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that I'm hopefully continuing to be here, or at least continue to be a priest of Jesus Christ as well. But that miraculous medal is very, very important, and the image on it is very important as well. Notice how the M of Mary stands beneath the cross. Everything goes back to that moment. Everything regarding the Blessed Mother, especially Maximilian, and even now with the miraculous medal, which of course predates Maximilian quite a bit, going back to Rudebach in 1830. It's all about that moment. Mary at the foot of the cross. Everything. The Annunciation has its meaning there. The Visitation has its meaning there. Everything leads us to that great moment. Jesus dying on the cross for us in salvation and giving us Mary at that moment. Even the miraculous medal is given to us at that moment. For Maximilian Kolbe, using the miraculous medal, of course, had a great effect, of course, on his love for the Blessed Mother, but also in his communication of the Blessed Mother as well. Because, you know, it's one of those easy things that he would sort of give away. We kind of still have that tradition to this very day. He have a miraculous medal. Again, you know, we're very incarnate people. That's a really stupid term. Of course, we're incarnate people. But the incarnation means everything to us, God becoming man. We're very earthy. We use our senses. The miraculous medal helps us in using our senses to get closer and closer to Mary. We don't just wear it as a piece of jewelry, you know, like people thankfully used to, not so much ignore the rosary. Miraculous medal is there as a great reminder, a great icon of leading us into heaven. And that's exactly the way that Maximilian Kolbe wanted to be, to give out millions and millions of miraculous medals so that people can have this image of the Immaculate Conception on one side of the medal, and that beautiful icon on the back side of the medal with the cross, the end of the foot of the cross, and with the 12 stars. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. millions. He wanted millions of souls to be praying this every single day. And we're getting back to it. Thankfully, as I can see here, as I can see all over the world, the great love for the Militia of the Immaculate, the great love for Maximilian Kolbe continues to grow all the time. The Militia of the Immaculate, which Maximilian founded, is still operational today, thanks be to God. It's an important part of our conventual Franciscan order. It's also it's run, thankfully and beautifully, by lay people around the world. The current, they just had elections in Rome, and to do it sort of via Zoom and things, but it's a great organization, and it's worldwide. The MI, and just to read from their mission statement, is a universal and international public association of the faithful, directed by the Holy See. The MI was founded by Maximilian Kolbe in 1917, and open to all Catholics, all walks of life, and encourages all people of goodwill to develop a trusting relationship with Our Lady. The aim of the MI is to win the whole world for Christ through the Immaculata, Mother of God and of His Church. The MI, as Maximilian writes, is a global vision of Catholic life under a new form, consisting in the bond with the Immaculata, our universal mediatrix before Jesus. The MI is committed to providing its members with Catholic formation in the spirituality and mission of St. Maximilian Kolbe. For example, evenings like this. Through total consecration to Mary, the Mother of the Lord, who is the most perfect follower of Jesus, individuals respond with her to the universal call to holiness and are transformed into generous disciples of Christ and instruments in Our Lady's hands, with a mission to give witness to the gospel and transform the world with authentic love. That's the MI I represent. That's the MI that Maximilian Kolbe founded. And that's the MI that I hope many of you may, in your hearts one day, want to join. It's nothing extra you really have to do. Just love Our Lady, have the miraculous medal, and consecrate yourself every day to the Blessed Mother. A very simple formula that you pray. And the reason we do it is because Jesus said at the cross, "Behold your Mother." And from that moment, He took her into His home. Let's just remember the last words, some of the last words that Maximilian Kolbe said. They're very beautiful. And he reminded us of this. Never be afraid of loving the Blessed Mother too much. You can never love her more than her own son did. May the names of Jesus and Mary be praised now and forever. Amen. Thank you.
Driving down the road this week to KMMK because my heart's on fire right now. I was sitting there taking notes, and one of the things I wrote down, I said, nobody loves Jesus more than Mary. And there's nobody loved Mary more than Jesus. And when Father said, we need to keep those words, behold your mother, in our hearts, because we're all called to accept Mary into our homes and into our hearts and accept that gift that the Lord has given us. And the visual that stuck with me was at the beginning when he talked about the thread of the Immaculata being woven from St. Francis to Maximilian Kolbe and then woven through our hearts. I love that visual. Thank you so much. That was absolutely a great gift. And I do hope people will make a pilgrimage over to the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe. It's very close to the Mundelein Seminary, so you'd be able to hit two very special places there. So we thank you, and we hope many people will take advantage of that.
On your own schedule, you can see the Behold Your Mother is available on kmmk-fm.org under programming, and you scroll way down and you'll see Behold Your Mother. Click on that, and it gives you that 1 hour podcast for the first three chapters. Register your consecration as directed on the last page of the booklet, and you're on your way.
in every age, to those who live in reverence with Him. Grace is His strength, but He unmasks all pride and strips us mighty.